from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're talking about Trinidad's Espiritu Series Number 2, crafted with tobaccos from Brazil and Nicaragua and wrapped in an Arapiraca leaf. Espiritu Number 2 produces a harmonious medium to full-bodied cigar with extraordinary zesty complexity and earthy notes. Come by the shop and pick up your Trinidad Espiritu Number 2 today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center and United States Navy Seabee to Combat Tours in Iraq. I'd like to welcome you to our program this morning. And I wanted to remind you that May is Military Month. All the different things that are taking place during May, Spouses Appreciation, Military Spouses Appreciation. Today, May 15th, if you're not aware of it, is our Armed Forces, National Armed Forces Day. It's the day that we remember all of our military personnel and their serving and those who serve our nation, men and women across the world. And so we want to make sure that we bring that to your attention today. Our classes this morning are taking place down in Cottonwood at the firehouse, the old firehouse there at 3271 Brush Street for the Battlefield Expressions PTSD Art Therapy Program. And it started at 10 a.m. this morning, which is right now. And the classes have been overfilled. Last week was two of the biggest classes that we've had during this whole project. And so we are so thankful that the project is being successful. We have military families, military veterans, military kids. We have Blue Star Moms, Gold Star Moms that are coming and being a part of this program. It's our opportunity to help our community, our military community up here in Northern California, to be able to come together in a like-minded situation, talk with people who have served, who are serving, and the family, being able to talk and to get some of these issues out on the table and to know that they are in a really good place where people appreciate where they've been, what they've done, and what they're doing right now. And sometimes it is so difficult. Our military families feel like they're isolated. And it doesn't even matter if they are a new veterans family or a family that's been around for 20 or 30 years since that military person had served, but they've been dealing with issues this whole time in their life. And sometimes there's things that creep up in their lives they don't even understand or know that are part of the repercussions of serving in the military. And when I say repercussions, I mean different feelings and different emotions and maybe some anger issues that come out that were never really thought of as maybe they were connected to some military service that was done. But things that are push buttons in their lives that bring certain situations to the surface, and nobody knows exactly what it is to take care of those. With our program, with Battlefield Expressions, it's an opportunity to come in and talk with other veterans and to laugh and to joke and to be relaxed and to know that you're in good company. A lot of times military families and people keep to themselves because there's a stigma out there that if I say something, somebody's going to be negative towards military duty. Well, you know what? We are not negative towards military duty in our community. We are very proud of our military personnel who have served our nation. We are very thankful for the freedom that we have because these men and women have stepped up, whether they're young or older in the reserve or National Guard, and they put their nation before themselves. And without individuals who are willing to step up and to have self-sacrifice for others, we as a nation would not have what we have right now. And right now we're struggling. Our nation is struggling to keep the freedoms that we have, that we've worked so hard, that so many have given their lives for in the past, for us to continue to have as we move forward. But this program is here to say thank you. This program is about God. It's about country. It's about our military families, and it's about those who wear the uniform around the world and for this nation and say, I will sacrifice and I will go and I will serve for the freedoms that we have here at home. You know, when we're out in another place doing our duty, it's because we have loved ones that are back here at home and we're serving for those loved ones. It's for the buddies that we're serving with when we're in country, wherever it is, because they're serving side by side. We'd laid our lives down for those individuals because of the relationships that we learned and the relationships that we developed. But the biggest thing is that when we come home, when we come back from overseas, back to the United States, we want to return to that place that we left, that we know is free, that we know that there is a certain part of the United States that is different than every other place in the entire world. The United States still has that freedom. It still has the opportunity for us to worship freely. And it has the opportunity for us to live in our communities versus other communities across the world where there's constantly dying. Everything that's going on in Israel and Palestine right now, still things that are going on in Syria. Our men and women are serving in Iraq and Afghanistan around the world. Those that are on the open seas in China right now dealing with the Chinese issues that are taking place. Our military, our Air Force, our sailors are serving around the world taking care of issues. You don't hear these things going on in the news. They're not talking about them. This administration is not talking. The news services right now do not want you to know what's taking place around the world right now with our military. But our men and women are standing in the gap, and that gap is what keeps us free here in our nation. And no matter what these other peoples who seem to toss their freedom away, nilly-willy, those of us who serve know what that cost is. We know what that pay was. I put Marines in body bags in Fallujah in Iraq. I know that sacrifice. I know what that cost was. And so one of the reasons that we have this program is so that we can continue to say thank you to those who serve and remember the families for those who came home under the flag instead of serving with the flag. It is so important for us to move forward. You know, Memorial Day is right around the corner, and the state of California is not allowing us to have a Memorial Day service out at the Veterans Igo Cemetery, which I'm very upset about because I think that the whole thing is ridiculous, especially at the cemetery. It's an opportunity for us to spread out and to be able to have a speaker and to listen and to talk and remember those who have served our nation. And we will have a special Memorial Day service here on the radio program that weekend to make sure that you know how much that we appreciate and care for those who have given their lives. Remember, Memorial Day is for those who have sacrificed for our nation. And Veterans Day is to remember those that are living among us who have served. And as we talk a little bit more about Armed Forces today, Armed Forces Day is to remember all those that are serving right now and to make sure that we remember those and to say thank you to them for what's taking place. We can never say thank you enough. And so we'll have a guest this morning. Our guest this morning is an Air Force veteran, and she is a master sergeant. And I said she. It's always a privilege when we have a lady veteran on our program because we want to bring to you a different perspective of what it's like for women to serve in the military. It's a whole different venue. And I myself as a male cannot relate to a lot of those things that take place. We served with the women. We made sure, I know under my command, we made sure that they were treated properly. They were treated equally as the rest of us. They had the same opportunity for advancements and to be able to move forward. Whether we were in, at home in our duty station or whether we were serving in the combat zone around, I know that we had women that traveled, in different vehicles in our convoys. And, you know, we always made sure that they were eyes on. They were usually in different vehicles with other men who were serving at the same time. But there was always an extra awareness when we had women in our convoys. And I think that a lot of that comes back to, for me, for my mother teaching me that you always take care of making sure that women are taken care of. It's what we're taught in our society. It's what I was taught in our society, and it's what we safeguarded when we were in country. We all served together. We all wear the same uniform. But we all always made sure that everybody were taken care of, including them. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Your friendly oil change, Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere, Ag, and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
We're always ready to warn back. I trust God's.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. That is the Armed Forces Medley. And today, once again, is National Armed Forces Day. And we're going to just talk a little bit about that real quick before we talk to our guests. May 15th, which is today, this year, 2021, commemorates the very special Armed Forces Day, celebrated on the third Saturday of May every year. This is a very crucial day dedicated to honor the U.S. military forces for relentlessly providing security and protection to our nation. The U.S. military constitutes following six branches: the Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, Navy, and now the new Space Force. In addition to the above branches, the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard are reserve components of their services and function partially under the state authority. It is to acknowledge the effort of all the people working in these branches that the Armed Forces Day is celebrated unanimously among the U.S. military personnel. The inception of this day goes back many years. The Defense Secretary Lewis Johnson in 1949 on August 31st stated the concept of single day observation as the Armed Forces Day in order to substitute separate Army, Navy, and Air Force days. As a result, all of the armed forces were put together under one unified agency name, the Department of Defense. Following which, President Truman announced the birth of this momentous Armed Forces Day through his speech praising the military services at home and across the sea. Therefore, it was Sunday, May 20th, 1950, that marked the maiden Armed Forces Day, which witnessed a combined demonstration of America's defense team of its progress under the National Security Act, directed toward the goal of readiness for any eventuality. The role of the Commander-in-Chief is assumed by the President of the United States. At that time, it was President John F. Kennedy who had declared Armed Forces Day as an official holiday in the year 1962. Armed Forces Day is a wonderful initiative to express gratitude personally to both men and women of their military service to this nation, ensuring protection and peace. Observing Armed Forces Day is a means to extend support, which serves as an immense morale boost for the defense personnel and their families as well. Armed Forces Day is one of the many holidays devoted to military personnel annually. Military Appreciation Month, Memorial Day, Military Spouse Appreciation Day are some of the other celebratory events that take place in the month of May. The Armed Forces Day is observed on military bases in America and communities all across the globe. It is important to note that Armed Forces Day is not the same as Veterans Day. Armed Forces Day is meant to salute the services of the U.S. military personnel whose services are ongoing, while Veterans Day pays tribute to only veterans. Our guest this morning is Master Sergeant Cindy Frugaletti.
Yes.
Frugaletti.
Yes.
And Master Sergeant, we are thankful to have you here. Your husband, Joe. Good morning, Joe. It's good to have you here also. Joe wasn't in the military, but Joe, you're a pilot and you have a couple of aircraft, which is really awesome because as a fellow pilot, I appreciate anybody that's got their own aircraft. So good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I had the opportunity to meet both of you. We were doing some a class out there at the Civil Air Patrol and the Reading Airport and talking with them about the museum aircraft out there, the 1954 Canberra bomber. And happened to meet you out there. You're one of the instructors out there, a safety instructor, I believe.
No, I'm just a senior leader right now.
Okay. But you were teaching safety that night. Oh, I thought you said you had to go and take care of a safety class.
We had a safety briefing.
Oh, that's what it was.
We had a safety briefing.
So we hardly ever get the opportunity for us to speak with our lady veterans, our women veterans. And so it's a privilege to have you here this morning and be your guest. Just want you to talk a little bit about what were some of the underlying factors that caused you to want to go into the Air Force?
Well, when I was 18, I was an exchange student, and so I got the bug to want to travel. So, military travel. And then at the same time, my family couldn't afford college or education, and I knew that as a female, unlike my brother, I couldn't just go out and get a job because it wouldn't work out. So, I was 18. I didn't need my parents' permission. So my brother and I went down to the recruiting station, and I enlisted. And then I told my parents.
And what kind of reaction did you get from that one?
My dad was not thrilled because he was a Vietnam veteran.
Okay.
And he said, well, you didn't join the Army, did you? And I said, no, I joined the Air Force. And then my dad came down and talked to the recruiters, and then he felt much better. My mom was supportive of, regardless of what I did, she was going to support it. So, and I joined in 1992 on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day.
Awesome. So that's a day to remember right there by itself.
So I will never forget my enlistment date. Yeah.
So what was your first duty station or your boot camp?
My boot camp was at Lackland Air Force Base, Texas, where it still is today. I didn't think it was that hard, but my brother was my work trainer before I went in the military, making me do push-ups and run and ride bikes before I went in. So I didn't find it too difficult.
So it wasn't such a rude awakening.
No, it was different in that you had to get up really early, you got yelled at a lot, it taught me a lot of discipline, because before I went in, I was a slob. And then when I came out, I was a neat freak. So it does teach you a lot of discipline, and I didn't really find it too difficult. I liked it.
Were there other women that were going through the classes through boot camp at that time?
No.
You were?
Yes, when I went through boot camp, my entire flight was female.
It was.
Yeah, there was 50 of us, all female, and I found that if you just follow directions and do what you're told, you're less likely to get yelled at.
It's amazing how that, right? You're just out of sight, out of mind, right? You just kind of blend in. And there's always those that are kind of like a little bit prima donna that no matter what they're told, they're just right in the middle of it, mm-hmm. and they get all the attention.
And that was fine with me. They could have it all. If my drill sergeants didn't know my name when I left, I was okay.
So when you came out of boot camp, what was your were you E2 or?
No, I was still an E1.
Okay.
I went straight to Colorado, Lowry Air Force Base, to where I went to my first A school to become a B1 electronics backshop specialist on the bomber.
And so had you already made that decision while you were in boot camp?
I made that decision when I enlisted.
So you had made that before you had even signed the paperwork?
I had a signed contract when I went in. I didn't know what I was doing because I said, sure, I'll go into electronics, but I had no idea what electronics was.
Electronics, yeah, it's just something in the Air Force, something with an aircraft, right?
Exactly.
So, well, so from there, where was your next A school?
I went to my next duty station was Dyess Air Force Base, Texas, where I actually did my job for 4 years active duty there at Dyess.
And so that's where you went through your schooling at that time also?
Well, I went to my schooling through Lowry, and then I was done. It was 6 months. And
okay.
Then I went to Texas for my permanent duty station.
Was that awakening for you, going through all the different electronics and things like that?
Yes, it was a learning curve. I had to have a strong background in math, and that's what got me through the school.
So you already had a pretty good strong background in math then, kind of?
Due to tutors in high school.
But that's one of the reasons why it's so critical when you're in high school to learn those basics, especially if you're going to go in the military, because those are stepping stones in your educational process.
Yes, absolutely.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest is Master Sergeant Cindy Frugletti. We'll be right back.
It's the Ramsey Show, talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high.
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up! Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus. We provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and another honor for us to be able to say thank you to our Air Force veterans and to Master Sergeant Cindy Frugaletti, who is our guest this morning. And Cindy, we were talking about where you were going to school. You had just come out of boot camp and you're to your first A school, and you are going to be a electronics technician on a B-1 bomber.
Yes,
correct?
That's correct.
So describe the B-1 bomber to us. I mean, when you first got there, you started looking at this B-1 bomber. I mean, like, what was your first expression of, wow, this thing is gigantic, and was it overwhelming?
Well, you didn't get to see one when you're at your A school because it's all fundamental electronics, and I was back shop electronics, so we learned the stations that we're going to run everything on to fix. But when we got to our duty station, the dorms they put us in are on the end of the runway. So it was just amazing. When the B-1 bomber would take off or land, everything shook. I mean, everything. You got used to it eventually, and you just would sleep through it. But now it's like I wouldn't mind living on the end of a runway because I like that.
Just the reverberation and the thrust.
Right.
When we were in Iraq and the tornadoes, the British tornadoes were taken off, and they were just full of fuel and rockets and everything else. And they used full 12,000-foot runway before they got off. I mean, it was just – the enormous amount of rush of the power and thrust that came out of those aircraft was just amazing.
Exactly. And so that was pretty exciting. Most of the time we were in a little enclosed environment because we worked on the electronics inside of a building. I was allowed once on the flight line because I didn't get to work on the actual plane. I worked on the stuff they brought me. But they took us out and I got to go on the plane while they had it up and running just to see where everything I worked on went, and that was pretty, that was really neat. So I enjoyed that while I was at Dyess Air Force Base.
That's awesome that you have that opportunity. Now, you were also an F-16 mechanic, engine mechanic.
Yes, after active duty, I transferred into the Air National Guard, and I eventually worked my way back to California where I was part of the 144th Fighter Wing, Fresno Air National Guard. And at the time, they had F-16s. Currently, they have F-15s. Engines are the same. I was an engine mechanic, and I really liked the engine mechanics. It was really cool. When you get to run ground on an aircraft and you're plugged into the aircraft and your counterpart is in the plane, you can feel the rumble from your toes all the way to your head when they start that plane and they get the afterburner. They have some of the augmenter. They don't go full afterburner, obviously. When you're running your safety checks and you got to go all around the plane while it's up and running, it's got some flame coming out the back. It's pretty cool experience.
Now, I know whenever I've watched the I was at Point Magoo when there was F-4 Phantoms they were still using when we were there. And they were walking around doing what you were doing, which is the ground pre-flight or testing. And I always thought what it would be like to be the guy that's plugged in with the headset talking to the pilot as you're walking around checking to make sure everything's okay as he goes through the flight systems and does the flight checks. Because you're that close. I mean, as a pilot, you want to be in the cockpit, but being close to the cockpit is nice sometimes too because you're right there next to what that aircraft is all about, and it's about the power and about the thrust and the capability and what it represents and what it means and what it can do.
Right.
And so, that's just, it's just awesome. Now, you were in the military during 9/11.
I came in, yes, I was in during 9/11. I was in college, actually. I was still in the Air National Guard, but I was taking college classes, so I did a military withdrawal because I was activated. And I went to Fresno because our unit responded. Having fighter jets, we were the only wing on the West Coast with them.
So tell us a little bit about when you saw those planes hit the towers and you all of a sudden you knew that your life was going to be changed from that day forward because of what was going to take place. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I didn't see the first one. I was on my way and heard about it, and we kind of thought it was a joke. Like, no, they're joking. Then when we found out it was real, I drove to my brother's house and made my sister-in-law get up. Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I know it's tough.
We watched the second jet hit, and then I knew I needed to call my unit.
So I was working at the Reading French Bakery here in town out at the Reading Airport as a chief engineer at that morning, and somebody came running out of the floor and said, hey, you need to come look at this. And I ran in and watched this, the second plane hit, because obviously we missed the first plane. And immediately when I saw that happen, I said, my life's going to change. We're going to war. This is it. This is what we've been training for. This is what they've been talking about this whole time. And now I can see that everything is going to change. They shut everything down. We went into top security. I made chief petty officer that week, E7. So I was considered a 9/11 chief during that time frame. And looking back at it, the privilege to have already been in the military and to know, okay, now we're going to serve our nation. Yeah, it's scary. Now we got to prepare everything we've talked about. Now is happening today. Now we're moving forward with those things. And so, so that's why I wanted to kind of get your perspective as to what that was like when you experienced that. I know it's a very emotional, a deal, and it should be for all of us as Americans. And so that's why I wanted to have your perspective on that.
I knew things were going to be different. I called my boss. He said, yep, we're activated. I packed my bag. I went down to my unit. We didn't deploy because we were the only fighter wing here on the West Coast at that time. So we activated in place, and I stayed down in Fresno for about 9 months. And worked on aircraft at night. I worked a night shift, and I worked on the F-16 engines as they were out flying, protecting our skies, because we didn't know if there would be another attack or anything. So they did their mission, and we kept them flying.
And so at that point, were you preparing to deploy? Were you, your unit getting ready to deploy at that point?
We were. In the event that we had to, my unit ended up not deploying. They deployed, like I said, in place. They called everybody in, and we all lived there at the base practically to keep those aircraft flying. The pilots were more deployed because they ended up all across the U.S.
So they were sent to their duty stations, their battle stations, basically.
Well, yeah, and because other units had deployed, that left our unit to pick up the slack here in the U.S. where those units were no longer at.
So when you were, after that point, when was the first time that you deployed overseas?
The first time I deployed overseas was actually when I was in the Pennsylvania National Guard. I went to England. That was actually a fun trip. I was part of the logistics unit for a special ops wing out of Pennsylvania, and I supplied aircraft parts for the helicopters. But the first time I would consider my real deployment that necessarily wasn't as fun was to Kuwait, and that was in 2010. And that was through Fresno as a first sergeant.
Was that Ali Asalim?
I was at Al-Mubarak.
Al-Mubarak, okay.
It's where everybody comes into first. And then from there, they get on buses, and they go either to their army base, to Ali Asalim, or they go to Ali Asalim to catch a C-17 into Afghanistan or Iraq.
So is that near Kuwaiti International Airport?
It is at Kuwaiti International Airport.
That's the name of it there. Because that's what we did. They flew us right into Kuwaiti International Airport, and then they put us on buses and took us to Ali Asalim,
right.
And then we convoyed from there north into Iraq.
Yeah.
And so, to that whole experience. And then we also were there on the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And you had been up there on the Rock also, I believe you had said.
Yes, I had a detachment there. I had a detachment Al-Mubarak, two detachments in Afghanistan, and one in Bahrain.
And were you ever at Al-Jafar?
No. My commander and I were supposed to go into Afghanistan, but the volcano erupted in Iceland, and it grounded all air traffic. And then we had a mass pileup of airmen trying to leave and soldiers trying to leave and soldiers trying to get in and soldiers trying to leave. There was no place to put us if we had gone.
Wow, okay.
So we ended up not making it.
Well, life happens for a reason sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Live American history at Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, American Adventure 1607. Actively explore the fates of early colonists in North America through a blend of gameplay and authentic history. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9:00. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State, right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us, using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Join us for Turtle Bay's Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show, running Tuesday to Sunday at 11 a.m. and noon. This fun-filled educational wildlife show gives you a special look at Turtle Bay's most beloved animals. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Got a bright red sticker on the back of my car. Says United States Marines. And yesterday a lady in a minivan held up her middle finger at me. Does she think she knows what I stand for, or the things that I believe? Just by looking at a sticker for the U.S. Marines on the bumper of my SUV. See my brother Chris. He's been in for more than 14 years now. Our dad was in the Navy during Vietnam. Did his duty, then he got out. And my grandpa earned his Purple Heart on the beach of Normandy. That's why I've got a sticker for the U.S. Marines on the bumper of my SUV. But that doesn't mean that I want war. I'm not Republican or Democrat. But I've gone all around this crazy world just to try to better understand. And yes, I do have questions. I get to ask them because I'm free. That's why I've got a sticker for the U.S. Marines on the bumper of my SUV.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and it doesn't matter what sticker you have on your bumper, if it's a military sticker, because it represents that individual who served around the world to help preserve the freedom. And those individuals who serve this nation and wear the uniform have a different perspective as they look at our nation, as they come home from serving their nation around the world, and they bring back the lessons learned, and they bring back those experiences of the combat zone or the zone where they were working for the military, for our nation, and taking care of those who are serving. You know, it takes, the average is 22 individuals serve one combat individual that's serving on the front lines. So you look at the individual, that combat person that's on the front line, how many people with logistics and support and transportation and food and beans, bandies, and bullets, whatever it takes to support them while they're out there on that front line, and how long they are there, the sustainability to be able to take care of them during that time frame. It takes all of us that wear a uniform to be able to take care of those who are serving out there on those front lines. And every job, every position is important as it is. Our guest this morning, Master Sergeant Cindy Frugletti, thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your service to our country. And as we were just talking about your service in Kuwait and some of those things that were taking place, tell us a little bit more about that and where you are in our community now and what's taking place and some of this, the service and volunteer things that you're doing also.
So in Kuwait, I went as a first sergeant, so I had, like I said, I had five detachments. I was able to put my hands on three of those, one in Bahrain and the two in Kuwait. We were able to actually have hands-on with the detachments in Afghanistan. One was attached with the Army, and the other was at the base there. But while I was there, the one thing I did that gave me the most honor was to do every dignified transfer while I was there that came through from Afghanistan and Iraq. And what I mean by that is any fallen soldier in Afghanistan or Iraq was sent to Al-Mubarak to prep them for their final journey home. So when they would arrive, my commander and I, we met every airplane that came. And our Air Force guys at that base, they transferred the caskets to the mortuary affairs guys. And you couldn't have a greater honor than that.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you for honoring those men and women who gave their lives.
And then, so that was my greatest honor in Kuwait. I was privileged to get to do that. After that, I came back home. I finished up my teaching credential, and I became a teacher. None of the things I've done in my life would have been possible without the military. And I can honestly say that. The military taught me discipline, respect, appreciation. I think every young person should serve their country. It taught me these values that I carry with me into my classroom. Sometimes my students say, Mrs. Frugletti, you're really intense, but that's in a good way, but we think it's your military background. But you make us feel safe and secure. You know, and that's my goal, is I want my students to feel safe and secure, and the military made me feel safe and secure. It also provided me my education. I got my bachelor's degree with my GI Bill, part of my master's degree with the GI Bill, and my deployment, I saved every penny while I was deployed and paid for my teaching credential. If I hadn't been for the military, I might not have become a teacher. The military has been the biggest part of my life. I graduated when I was 18, and I went in the military, and I was in for 21 years serving my country.
Thank you for those 21 years.
And that's the bulk of my life was the military. So when I retired, it was quite a transition because I had to refigure out who am I without that piece. Luckily, I had my husband and his voice to help me do that, and God. Those things made me who I am today, and the military has shaped and defined my life.
Once again, I just want to say thank you for, you know, people have no idea what we carry with us when we live our lives as military personnel or even as retired military personnel, especially after dedicating that many years to a cause, to something that we believe in, to something that we would lay our lives down for, to something that we have seen others lay their lives down for. And people have called me intense. People have said, well, you're just way too intense, da 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 da. And you know something? When you have been where we have been, if I would dare somebody to walk 1 year in my boots in the service of our nation for Iraq. I did two combat tours there, what we saw, where we were there. You know, you go out on a mission and you come back scared to death because of what you saw and where you're at. And then you sleep for 2 hours and you turn around and you go back and you do that exact same mission again. And you know what the odds are. You know what the intel reports. You know where the enemy is. And you do that for 177 consecutive missions. And then you can tell me that you can't come back changed. Because those things that we see, that we witness, and that we experience create a whole different persona in the people that we were from when we were young and entered the military to when we were older and more experienced and we come out of that situation. What we've seen, where we've been, and what we've done, it brings back to us a whole different concept of how we look at life and how we cherish the freedoms that we have. Mm-hmm. And so I see that in you and your life and in your experiences, and I understand military to military, I understand those situations that you were in. Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing in our community right now for projecting that service and that opportunity to others in our community.
So one of the things, my husband and I have joined, we joined the Civil Air Patrol here locally in Reading. Our boys, when our youngest, Cole, was 12, he said, I am old enough to join now, and I want to go. So we signed our boys up, and then that sucked us in, too. So we became senior members doing the search and rescue side while they did the cadet program. And from there, then we just stayed in after our boys, they're aged out of the program. One of them joined the Navy, so he's following the military footsteps of myself and his grandparents, because both his grandfathers were, my dad was a Vietnam vet and his other papa was as well. So we're doing that in the community. We do the Civil Air Patrol. It's a great program for cadets. Teaches them a lot of different stuff. And if they want to go in the military, they can go in. They could possibly earn a stripe before they even go in.
So the Sea Cadet, or the Air Cadet, excuse me, are kind of like Boy Scouts, only under the auspice of the Air Force.
Yes. And like you said, Sea Cadets is under the auspice of the Navy.
Correct.
So they have both here in Reading.
Yes.
So we just happened to do the Civil Air Patrol because my husband's also a pilot.
Yes, and you were talking earlier, you have a 1947 Bonanza. And so that's an awesome aircraft, especially with the vintage that you have. So we're down to 1 minute. And once again, I want to say thank you, Cindy, and Joe, for being here with me this morning. If you're trying to talk to another young lady about joining the military, we have just a few minutes left.
I would say join. It's a great time. It's a great experience. You'll learn a lot, and it can change your life if you'll let it. You have to be willing to let it.
And there's lots of opportunities.
And there are a lot of opportunities for women, more than when I went in.
Thank you again for being here. Remember today, Armed Forces Day. Make sure you get your flag out in front of your house. Make sure you say thank you to a veteran. And we wouldn't have the freedom that we have if it wasn't for those who step up and serve honorably. Thank you. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions.
Just my children and my wife.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.